So we are here once again here on Couch Coach Live with some breaking news here. What's going on, Maui?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. So let's do a breaking news where we had Nikola Jokic has won his third MVP in 4 years. This season, he averaged 26.4 points per game, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. He had 25 triple-doubles this season and 68 double-doubles. He's the ninth player in NBA history to win more than 3 MVPs. So he joins elite company with his third MVP. What's your thoughts on Nikola Jokic being the MVP?
Congratulations, man. You know, he played more than 65 games and stayed consistent. You know, I think he is actually one of the ones that's actually trying to change the game to an old school style rather than, you know, consistently on the 3-point line. So, but, hey, man, you know, congratulations.
Yeah, another great feat for him. And and it's funny when they named the MVP, Shaq had, you know, had a conundrum because obviously he wanted SGA to win this award. But I just look at Jokic, and I understand that people say, you know, SGA, he had a number one seed. But in all seriousness, that Minnesota, Denver, and OKC had identical records. It was basically a tiebreaker. So any of them could have potentially been the number one seed in the Western Conference. So, I mean, you can't deny a guy of that stature. I mean, you look at even, you know, you look at the double-double, pretty much, you know, averaging 12 rebounds and then 26 points per game, a little over 26. Yeah, I mean, you just can't deny it. I mean, he had the stats, and he, like you said, he played more than the 65 games that's needed to win this award. So, on my end, there's no gripes. I mean, hey, he had a very efficient year this year. You know, you had to give him. I mean, we look at the finalists between Jokic, SGA, and Luka. I think he's the most deserving of those three. So, you know, and it came to fruition. And he definitely now joins elite company. It's going to definitely be interesting as his career, you know, goes forward. And, you know, how many MVPs he will continue to win and how and what he will be doing going forward. But congratulations to Jokic, man. One thing is, hey, I don't know if your home fans could be able to see you win the MVP award, player. I mean, it looks like it might be you may not be going back to Denver, but we're going to talk about that tonight. So we'll talk about that. So we'll talk about our second round takeaways. We'll talk about that. Gilbert Arenas, once again, foaming at the mouth about Rudy Gobert. We'll talk about that. We'll even talk about, you know, the potential end of the inside NBA and all that, the sadness that may occur this time next year. So, low-key kind of bracing ourselves for that. So, we'll talk about that. And then, you know, what we'll do, we'll talk about someone in your house, Maui. We'll talk about the Lakers. What's next for them as far as who will be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. So, we'll dive into that, which could be a very complex subject. So, what we're going to do, we're going to kick that intro, and we'll be right back here on Couch Coach Live.
Thank you.
And we're back here on Couch Coach Live. This week's Couch Coach Live is powered by SeatGeek. Head to SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code COUCHCOACH. Get yourself $20 off your first purchase. So, now we're getting into the the second round of the NBA playoffs. As you know, if you're listening to us live, obviously we got the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks squaring off as we speak, as we're going live now. And if you listen to the, you know, the recorded version of it, the second round will still be going on. So we'll go around the horn. We'll talk about our second round takeaways. Any first round takeaways that you got?
I didn't really do too much on first round. I did like second round. Round, I basically, man, I watched the Lakers. I didn't watch too much of other teams. But once I realized that Phoenix, that Steph, Kevin Durant, and LeBron and all these old guys are not going to be in the playoffs. So I'm like, okay, going to the second round. I'm like, damn, if Denver lose and Boston lose, like, this is going to be crazy. It's going to really be like young teams in the playoffs. And I'm so intrigued to see who will win, and what are they going to do in the offseason with these big name stars that didn't make it to the playoffs. So I'm gonna start with the Timberwolves. Bottom line is the Timberwolves and the Nuggets, 106-80. Bottom line was the turnovers and the assists. Like, you would think the Nuggets would have had more assists than the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves had 28 assists, and the Nuggets had 16. But the Nuggets also was 29 from 83 shots, and the Timberwolves was 42 from 84. At the free throw line, definitely the Nuggets was on top. But that defense is just, for them not to have, one of their important players, that defense was just swarming. And the crazy thing about that is, and we're going to talk about in the next one how important that player is, because in the first game, Cat got in foul trouble, and in the third quarter when the Nuggets was making a run, Cat was doing ticky-tack fouls, and then it started really having me pay attention to the MVP and how important it is to have your hands in a certain position, or he's going to get those fouls. Also watched the Pacers in the Knicks game. And the bottom line with that is the Knicks is playing out of their mind. Halliburton's got to make more than 6 points. If Halliburton can give you 20 points, and I think Sakium, I think his name is, the guy that used to play for the Raptors. He got the championship, and he's one of the reasons why the Raptors won that championship. So he got 19 points. If he can get more, man, if he was able to get 30 points, they might have won that game also. And then I'm gonna go to the Mavs and the Thunder, and bottom line is that 15 turnovers, to 9. So, and then the rebounds, Thunder out rebound them 52 to 39. I think the Mavs have so much potential, but I think they feed off of Luka. And Luka, to me, he can score his ass off, but he just comes off lazy. So when he's dribbling the ball and you put your hand in there, he's so slow. Like, is he really going to drop down? And he did. That happened in the game, and it was a turnover. And, he barely moves when So I don't know. I feel like the Thunder is probably going to sweep them or do it in five. But my takeaway is, these older guys, these older players are going to have to find an extra battery pack, because these young guys are not afraid of them, and they trust in one another, and they better step up. They're going to be going home early. Coach? Oh, there you go.
Okay. So I think the biggest thing, I look at the Nuggets on the brink. I think they're a situation where you look at what they have done in the two games at home, the way the way they lost to Minnesota in those fashion. So you look at how Minnesota dominated those games. defensively, physically, almost similar to kind of what they did in the Phoenix series. And now you look at how they frustrated the Denver Nuggets. You look at even to a point where Jamal Murray was throwing stuff on, throwing stuff in the trajectory of upset officials. So, you know, you look at that. As well, you look at it, I think you look at OKC, look at what they've been doing, obviously, getting that important win last night, holding the Mavericks 16 points in the fourth quarter. You just look at just from the point of SGA doing his thing, 29 points last night, Jalen Williams, the ultimate sidekick at this point when it comes to, you know, that duo. And they're another young, exciting team. Well, I think it's funny, we always made the joke of, you know, all your favorite guys are going to get drafted. It's going to go to OKC. And now you're looking at those kind of guys that we once joked about, you know, as far as, you know, all them getting those, you know, those first round picks and what have you, but it turned into like Chet, or turned into Jalen Williams and those guys. So now that all coming to fruition, I think with this Knicks and Pacers, I think this is going to, the rivalry is back between these two. You look at it just from a standpoint. It's going to be kind of – if there's a most likely for a series to go to seven games, it's going to probably be this one when you look at it. Both physical games, that's one thing too. When you just look at it, you know, you got a six-point effort in Halliburton and you think yourself, wow, I mean, that's – I mean, it's still, you know, I'm like, hey, once he goes off, and he'll go off in this series and then it can definitely, you know, definitely can be very interesting for them. Then we have the Celtics and the Cavs. I think that's going to be kind of one of those where I'm going to judge it as the series progresses. You look at Cavaliers coming off of that emotional win, not emotional, but more so of just the effort that was exerted in that match against Orlando Magic. Now, you know, fast forward having to travel to Boston and get that as well. So it's too early to tell about that one so far in this series.
Can you hear me, Coach?
Yeah, Key. Yeah.
Okay. Say something one more time.
Yeah. All right, testing. I'm here, so we'll talk about second round takeaways. You able to hear me?
Oh, I'm having a problem, Mike.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right. What we're going to do, so as we transition, so we'll talk about next topic. So – and we talk about a series between Denver and Minnesota.
Right. Can I ask a quick question?
What happened? What's wrong?
Do you think that that Murray should have been suspended?
No, I mean, it's the playoffs. It's kind of like almost a Russell Westbrook Luka situation where the playoffs should kind of let stuff go.
Okay.
In a sense, I mean, I'm not gonna be like Stephen A. Smith and gonna call the league office and ask why they didn't suspend
him. Hey, cruddy. I'm gonna say this, but with the Nuggets too. One more thing, I think was it Brown that played last year for them? I think it was Brown. and Jeff Green. I feel like you see the importance of them.
Bruce Brown.
Because I think if you know Jeff Green played in Houston, and I think that's the problem with these last teams that have won the championship, I think I want to say since 2019, maybe like 2019 or maybe 2018, I feel like they have important guys that they let go. They should have kept them because you got to have a strong bench. Like look at my man from the Knicks that played for the Warriors. I want to mess his last name up. The redhead dude that played for Villanova with the fellas.
Oh, DiVincenzo.
Yeah, DiVincenzo. I think I said Jeff Green, you know, Kuzma. There's a lot of players that played on P.J. Tucker, like I said, for the Bucks, that you kind of wish, like, damn, you should have re-signed them and kept the same championship team together and, like, added pieces to cover that. Because when you're looking at the Nuggets now, they don't really have a bench that's going to be the – you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like Joker might have to be out there and play 40 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
League MVP,
right?
Whatever it takes,
right?
All right. right. So what we'll do, we'll transition to the next topic. So so basically, we talked about the Timberwolves and the Nuggets series earlier. Now, we talked about, you know, pretty much the Timberwolves winning in convincing fashion these last two games. So game two was on Monday, and Rudy Gobert was out game two and due to personal reasons, which the personal reason was to witness the birth of his first child, to be with his wife. So obviously, we get these topics from time to time where guys make the option either they, you know, either they leave to witness the birth of the child or they play and vice versa. So this isn't new as far as it, but Gilbert Arenas had an interesting take about Rudy Gobert missing time on Monday due to the birth of his son. So we're going to play the clip from Gil's Arena. Definitely huge shout out to those guys at Gil's Arena. They're doing their thing. Before we play the clip, just fair use, fair use, fair use. So we're going to play that clip right now, and let's get that going.
We hope. Right.
I mean, I'm just saying the baby gonna be
okay,
trusted.
But unnecessary.
The baby gonna it don't know it, whatever you about to think you about to do with the baby, he gonna be asleep.
Need that skin to skin contact.
Okay, yeah, he's skin to skin in 2 days.
Right on the titty. The whole time, right on the titty.
What you saying? We
need some milk.
Like I get you wanna be with your wife and smile and stuff and your good NBA healthcare insurance.
Right.
It's because of you playing.
Right, trust me, they got everything.
So first child,
right? Maybe, yeah.
All right. So we'll play. We'll roll that clip. So then I want to play a clip from Club Shay Shay. Shout out to Shay Sharp and Ocho and everybody there. So we're gonna play that clip momentarily. Once again, this one yet again, fair use, fair use.
Not trying to Rudy Gobert. Not trying to cause trouble, but I got to know what you guys think of Gil take. On Gobert shouldn't have missed the game for the birth of his child. It all depends. If it's a playoff game, we're going to have another baby. Right. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to the playoff. If it's right. A Super Bowl, I'm damn sure ain't missing that. In Rudy's case, the baby was born, and I'm hoping that mother and child was okay.
I'm out of there.
Once I find out mother and child is okay, I think it's different his first child. So he
let him get the number two. He might FaceTime. He might Zoom the whole thing.
But Ocho, that's something with her that you need to have discussed beforehand. So therefore, when it happens, nobody's surprised.
Right. I'm playing. I ain't missing no game.
Hey, get it in July. So guess what? The off season, the baby come out in the off season. Guys, y'all gotta play a little better. I'm gonna be there for the birth. Once you okay, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Just know, NBA Finals, push, baby.
You gotta breathe.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby. You're doing so good. Not trying to cause trouble.
So we've played two of the clips. What was your thoughts on Gilbert Arenas' comments on Rudy Gobert missing game two?
I watched the whole thing, and I think Gil's part wasn't even that big. It was Kenyon Martin's take was the best take. He got six kids. You know, Gil is silly, and he was just trying to, you know, make a joke out of six situation. But bottom line is what he said was, I've never heard this before where a player don't play because of something like this. You know what I mean? So he said it's not what we're used to. Also, Mark Jackson was there and he spoke on it. So I didn't really have a problem. I think we all know, they all think I'm playing in the playoffs. Like we playing the champions. I'm playing, you know what I mean? I'm the defensive player of the year too. So I'm definitely trying to, I'm playing, you know what I mean? Like we just beat the team that has beat the Lakers that has LeBron James for the last 10 times and won a championship the year before. Everybody saying how dominant they are. They're picking them to win the championship. And we just beat them at home and didn't look tired. Like it's a bunch of pluses. So that's my take. I didn't really have an issue with what he said. You know, he was trying to make a joke, but I know I'm playing.
It depends on the circumstance for me. I mean, I've never experienced that before. I think with especially the first, because if I was to have a child, it would be my first child. So I think from a civilian standpoint, obviously, that won't be a problem for me because obviously there's such thing called paternity leave in my in my world. So how I look at it might be a little bit different. And like with Gil Cummings, I necessarily didn't like, you know, obviously there are a point where everybody gets so up in arms of what Gilbert Arena says. And like you said, I understand for him, he brings that type of funniness. He brings, I call it like levity in any type of situation. Like if it's something that's a serious situation, he brings that type of levity where I don't necessarily take his words for a grain of salt.
Right.
And I think it just depends on the circumstance. And I think who really made the great point, that's why I wanted to bring up Shannon Sharpe's point, where it just depends on the magnitude of the game.
Right.
To me, like a playoff game of that magnitude with Rudy Gobert, now if it was the game seven, okay, we playing this game. A game two, I'm like, nah. I mean, hey, I could miss game two. We be all right if we go to Minnesota tied, we cool.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those, and the NBA is a little bit different. I think if you were to miss like a game seven, I mean, I think those stipulations, maybe the NBA finals, maybe the conference finals, and any game seven within those rounds. Now the NFL is a lot different. Where I think if I was an NFL player. And playoffs are one and done. So it's not like a seven-game series versus the NBA. The NFL, it's like, okay, you know, you can lose one game and you're totally out of the actual out of the playoffs. So I look at it from that standpoint. So it's two different worlds. I think but more so on a Rudy Gobert case, I mean, I'm cool with him missing game two. And obviously it worked out in his favor. So, I mean, it's just one of those where, I'm cool with it. I know, like you said, Gil just say what he got to say, and that's how he rolls. He tries to be entertaining as much as he can. But if I'm, you know, I didn't have a problem with it at all, either with Gil or with Rudy.
Right. If you watch the whole joint, Gil spoke on that something like that happened to him too, and he was in Phoenix, and he said he flew. He said he flew from Phoenix to DC, and then he said he stayed, and then he came back. But I was tripping too because I'm like, Minnesota. You know, we worked on the road, so you would think that's far, but Minnesota and Colorado is not that far.
It's a 90-minute flight,
right?
Yeah,
excuse me, but you know, to go into more detail, and nobody's doing that. They said the baby was born early. Like in the morning, and the game was in the, you know what I mean? And it's like, that's the subject is like, he still could have did both. You know what I mean? And so Kenyon was speaking on that. Even he said he had and it was like in March, he had a baby that was supposed to be due, I think in June or July. So it was premature. And he said the baby was so small, he held it in his hand. He said he did what he needed to do and he still got, and he was gone. You know what I mean? Because he said And also, that's another thing we have to understand. The world is changing. And a guy like Kenyon Martin, and we all know he's a kind of an alpha male. You know what I mean? So he like, man, I got to go to work. This is what I've been working for. When Rudy, not saying Rudy's not like that, but Rudy comes off a little, you know, a little more, to me, a little more playful and gentle than that. And he probably was like, I get it. I mean, I had my first child, and I didn't go to work the next day when I was supposed to. I get it. You know what I mean? But if I was playing in the NBA, I would have went because it's 2024 and we have helicopters. We have Mark Jackson said he would have flew in the team's jet. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To New York and then came back. So it's ways around it, man. It's 2024.
Yeah. And it's true. And then shifted another focus where, you know, even though she may, we don't know if there may have been some complications or something that happened that day too. So, and I think, yeah, so that's why I think if you know how it played out, I think he would have just flown, but I don't know, and it could have been some other circumstances that could have potentially happened with that. So I mean, if it's one of those, and even like with Shannon Sharpe's point, where it's like, well, you know, the planning, and I think there was, and obviously there was, I would assume there was discussion between Rudy and I think he's married, but I'm not sure if married, girlfriend, whoever, whatever. But I think, you know, as long as you communicate it with her, and like you said, and I know Shannon said you can plan it, but it's kind of one of the things where you can, it's hard for you to plan like that, because like you said, you talked about a situation where I think the baby was supposed to be due in June and it came in March.
Right.
So, you know, things can like that can happen, you know, so.
Thank God they won.
I know, because this would, oh God, this almost would have been like, if this would have saved Vince Carter, because remember Vince Carter went to his graduation and they lost. Like, right. Just imagine how that happened in 01, and this is before the advent of the major 24-hour sports news cycle. I mean, we still had it, but it's not like what it is now, where right. Or the social media era. So, yeah, thank God they won. So I think, yeah, it would have been a different story, I think, if they would have lost. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, and everything is different. I just know in my real life, I wouldn't have this problem. But I know, I'm thinking more so from an athlete's perspective. I think it would be kind of difficult for me to kind of, you know, but yeah, it would be one of those where I would, you know, like you said, if it was born early in the morning, go and fly to wherever I need to go. And then, especially now, especially since the series moves back to Minnesota, he could have, you know, went to Denver and then came back to Minnesota that same night or whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, hey.
Hey, you coach. So I know you remember. You coach. Wasn't it something with Derek Fisher? Something was wrong with his daughter, and then he came back like in the middle of the game.
Yeah, yeah, he got. I think his daughter was like, I don't know what she was sick. Like she was really, really sick. And I think that was a playoff game. I think my memory is correct. I think they were playing Utah.
No, he was playing in Utah, I thought.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because that's why he went to Utah, because they had, it was a special like a hospital that was able to take care of his daughter. Yeah.
Right. And then he was able to come. He was able to make it. I think they was like, he just got off the plane or the plane. They were showing that he was coming. Fans stood up. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. But, you know, like, regardless, they won the first game. I think even questions is, I wonder what his teammates said. You know, they was asking, what do you think the team said? But I think deep down, it's Rudy Gobert, and I think he has a little reputation. And they played so well without him. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, to me, what I was saying last time, Cat almost messed it up, even though they was playing well, because I believe if he'd have gotten foul trouble and took him out, it probably would have been a problem. You know what I mean? Because Anderson kept telling him, man, we need you. Stop, you know, doing tic tac foul, putting your hands out there. Can't do that against Joker. You know what I mean?
Chew. Forgive them teammates. Chew. When Draymond Green was about to kill me, if I was 2 or 3 seconds away, I would have been dead. I wouldn't have been able to see my son being born. I would have been like, family first. Family first. Because y'all fools did not come in, like, you know how. Like, you talking about some bad decisions, talking about somebody that's not protecting her. Well, he needed to be on Club Shay Shay talking about all protecting them against Draymond Green. And I was gonna pull the clip from Draymond Green's saying what he had to say. But I was like, to me, it's too much bad blood between them.
Because he wasn't rude, though. He wasn't rude.
He won't rude, but yeah. I think sometimes it can get skewed. You know what I'm saying? Because this is like they got bad blood. It's not like they're not guys that's going to give each other Christmas cards at the end of the year. They don't like each other. So it's like, it's kind of like when he come from that angle, you're like, is this actually coming from a genuine place, or is kind of one of those that's like, it's coming from hate? Yeah, he didn't say much. But just the fact that he, you know, he said what he had to say, I'm like, where did it really come from? Like, what's the root of that? Yeah, because he can't, because, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know. Yeah. Right. So speaking of keeping on to Rudy Gobert. So Rudy Gobert has won the Defensive Player of the Year this year. So he joins the Dikembe Mutombo and Ben Wallace, Virginia University stand-up. As the only guys to win Defensive Player of the Year 4 times, So Rudy Gobert, so he led essentially the team. You look at Minnesota, they were first in defensive ranking and points per game allowed. Yeah. So he had 9.2 defensive rebounds per game this year, and then 2.1 steals, which is sixth in the league. What's your thoughts on Rudy Gobert winning his fourth defensive player of the year? And do you think someone else could have potentially won it, maybe a Victor Wembanyama or Bam Adebayo? What you thinking?
No, I'm going with Rudy. If I wouldn't have said it would have been Rudy, I probably wouldn't have went AD or Joker. You know what I mean? From a big man, you know, standpoint, you know, paying in the shadows, you know, blocks, you know, things of that nature, clogging up the clogging up the middle and things like that. That's what I kind of like. So, but, you know, I'm not mad at Rudy. You know, one thing that you could say, that's what he's good at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and to me, it falls on the line. I know people will say, oh, yeah, this is an individual award. But also, you got to look at the team success as well. He was right. The anchor of a team that had the – as far as when it comes to the defensive rating, like probably one of the top defensive teams in the league. So he literally anchors that defense. And I know people, and of course the talk was a lot of, definitely when it came to Victor Wembanyama. I know a lot of people looked at him because I think he led the league in blocks. You look at, look at San Antonio defensively, they were like 21st.
Right.
And then Bam, you look at Bam, he averaged nearly over 10 defensive rebounds in a game per game this year. And that defense, they were the top five defensive team in the Miami Heat. Right. So I look, obviously with those three were the finalists. So I think in my personal opinion, I think I'm cool with the Rudy Gobert thing. I mean, just look at from a and it's just like everything. I mean, it's like we talked about like the MVP situation where, yeah, you're going to have guys are going to have potentially better stats in a sense in certain categories. But I think when you look at how he was essentially the anchor for this Minnesota team defensively, you got to give him that. And I know people going to, I've heard talk today as far as, him now being, lumped in with the Dikembe Mutombos and Ben Wallace's. I'm like, you don't necessarily have to lump them in just because they won the same award, but they won the award in three different eras. Obviously, Dikembe won in his time, Ben Wallace won in his time, and Rudy Gobert won in his time. So that's the thing I hate about people say, when you put these guys together, they're in different eras. I can understand that they were peers. Like if you compared him to maybe like a Draymond Green or Kawhi Leonard in that ilk. But in this case, I mean, when the smoke clears in this NBA landscape, I'm not gonna look at them and say, "Hey, well, those three guys, I'm lump them all together." The only way that you're lumped together because of this award, but when you look at it from just their attributes alone, I'm not gonna associate these three and stuff like they're like, "Oh yeah, he's the next Dikembe Mutombo or he's the next Ben Wallace." No, that's not gonna happen here.
Right.
But like I said, I'm cool with it. And it was fair. I mean, you just look at it, and this award is always the trickiest of them all.
Right.
Where as far as because I should have did this before the show, but I'm definitely gonna be curious and do some homework on it again. It's like as far as who voted for what. I mean, as far as how many because this defense and this award, I always think sometimes when I always wonder, like, when these voters vote for this, do they really take this this award in particular, like, seriously? Uh-huh. So it's kind of when I want to really see the breakdown of this vote. Like, and I should have did this beforehand, but now thinking about it, like, I really want to see how and who voted for who.
Right.
That's going to be really interesting.
Right. I think the same thing, because I was hearing people speak on it, and they was like, it's a really hard, it's not hard. It's like an illusional category because, a lot of times when people get their blocks, now I'm going to tell you something. The person who's going to revolutionize is going to be Wimby, Because Wimby, yeah. you literally try to shoot in front of it, he could block your shot. And ain't a lot of people doing that. You know what I mean? You know, mm-hmm. his wingspan, he's gonna be to lock somebody down and block their shot.
Yeah.
On a consistent basis. So, yeah. but a lot of it is based upon what your team is doing too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, one of the best defensive players I ever seen was Bruce Bowman. Has he ever won Defensive Player of the Year?
That I recall.
Right. And he locked down to me. What about Ron Artest?
I don't even know.
But you would think he would. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And those might have been those years. That's why it's like it's weird. Like in that time period, it's probably that was really the era of Ben Wallace, essentially. Right. Yeah, I want to look that up now. I don't even know. I don't think he's ever won one. Him, Bruce Bowen, or Ron Artest. I don't think so. And if they did, it might have been, you know.
Right.
So let's see. So Ron Artest won it 2003-04.
Okay.
So he won. Let's see. No Bruce Bowen. Yeah, but Ron Artest won one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, because that's when, because he was sandwiched between Ben Wallace, because Ben Wallace won in 01, 02, then 02, 03, Ron Artest in the middle. And right. then Ben Wallace. So that's how he got his four. I knew he was in that era. And that's probably, like you said, when it comes to Bruce Bowen, probably because of, you look at, you know, a perimeter defender like Ron Artest at the time, you know, and then you look at Ben Wallace in his era. I didn't even know Marcus Camby won one. Why? Yikes. But the only thing I thought about, and it's weird, because like you said, and I know people were saying like, well, Wimby should win it, but I'm like, dude, Wimby is gonna win that award for the next 15 years. Y'all don't trip. Like, he gonna win that award for probably the next 15 years or so.
Right.
And what's scary about all this coming forward for the Olympics, you got Rudy Gobert and Victor Wembanyama playing for the French national team. For France this year. I'm like, whoa. We in for a world of trouble in the Olympics. I like, man, that's gonna be crazy. That's gonna be crazy to watch them two play together.
That's weird that you would say that. Do you not to be on conspiracy? Because you got Steph, KD, AD, and LeBron. Aren't they all playing in the Olympics this summer?
Yeah. And they're gonna be resting.
And that's exactly what I said. I said, man, I wonder if that's what that, you know, I'm not saying that's the plan, but yeah. I'm like, that shit sure look funny to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like,
but they needed that rest. That's how I couldn't imagine any of them going through a finals run that end probably the third week of June. I don't think Kawhi should play. I don't think he should play, because I you need to get somebody who in there that's gonna be healthy for a good considerable stretch. I mean, it's not nothing I'm knocking up, but I mean, we know Kawhi and this in his knees and in his past, okay. Like it's gonna be
healthy as hell.
it's gonna be a miracle. I really want to see how he walks when he's like 40-50 years old. I'm serious, like as far as because I just hope that, you know, as far as I look at his long-term future at this point now, I forget about all the NBA stuff. I just wanted to make sure that he's going to be walking pretty good in his 40s and 50s, the way things are going, because it's that bad, you know, with that. But, it's going to be definitely interesting to see that you know, those two in the Olympics. But it's going to be fun. That's another one that cannot wait. That's about 2 months from now.
Right.
So we'll definitely get that going. So speaking of the Olympics, obviously the Olympics will be on NBC. And NBC might be killing some people's dreams. Not killing dreams, but more so NBC could be ending in a potential Mount Rushmore television show of all time. So the NBA is lining up their next media rights deal. So TNT, which is the parent company of Warner Brothers, is on the verge of losing its potential media rights that they've held since 1989. So TNT, their deal ends next season, and NBA and NBC has jumped in with a $2.5 billion offer to carry NBA games. It's unsure if TNT, well, Warner Brothers / TNT will come up with the $2.5 billion to outbid or at least match the bid from NBC. What does it potentially do for the actual crew? We talk about Kenny, Ernie, Shaq, and Kenny. So Barkley could sign with another network because he does have a in his clause where he could be a free agent essentially if TNT doesn't cover the NBA. Ernie, they think that Ernie more likely would stay with TNT because he does other stuff with the network, not just inside the NBA. He's a mainstay. He's probably, you know, he's been with TNT forever, essentially. And then Kenny and Shaq, their situation is unknown as far as their deal, because obviously those guys signed deals in 2022 in the hopes of getting the new TV, been a part of the new TV deal, and for the 2025 and 2026 season and everything all seasons going forward. So it looks like this inside the NBA might be on life support, and we might have one more year of this. What's your thoughts on it?
It's crazy, man. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. And you know, it's weird because I was sitting there and I'm starting to see they have Candace Parker here. They have this person here, and I'm watching, and they got this guy. I think he's on Shaquille O'Neal's podcast as, like, in the Ernie's place sometimes, and I'm like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, he's not Ernie, though. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, Ernie got that Bob Parker feel, like, when he up there.
Yeah.
So, damn, man, I don't know what to say. Like, I was thinking it was going to be on some streaming stuff, like, they can still bring them and put them. I mean, they have an Amazon deal, like, or something like that. And I'm like, damn, it sucks.
I don't know. Because I know it's probably, if NBC get it, it'd be on Peacock. But
right.
And I find it interesting because I it's unfortunate. I think it'll hit me next year. But it's going to suck. I mean, because that's the thing. And I think people, you know, when you think about creating a concept for a show, the inside the NBA is your blueprint. You want to have a situation where you're entertaining and informative and funny. Right. They check all the boxes, and those guys, that chemistry, you can't replicate that type of chemistry. You've seen so many different shows that try to emulate them, but they're not them. And I think that's the sad thing about all this is we're literally going to lose out on probably one of the greatest NBA shows. Hell, might be one of the best sports shows that we've ever have had. Mm-hmm. They're like, to me, like your parents, they used to watch Johnny Carson. Some of our parents might have watched Jay Leno, you know, all those guys. That's to me, that's my late night television. That's my late night, show where it's just like, you know, you stay for the highlight, you stay for the games, but you stay longer for the inside the NBA because you just really want to, you know, and all the different segments that they have, you know, obviously I love the one that who he played for. So they always stump Chuck because like, and it's always a great test of your NBA knowledge, like, okay, where is this person at? And so it make you realize have you paid attention in all during the off season. So that's a fun game, and there's all kind of stuff. I think that's it's gonna be heartbreaking when they do, because I mean, when they, if they, because those four are never gonna be together the way it seems. Because to me, I know people say, well, Barkley can go anywhere, but can Barkley replicate it? And I'm not trying to say like not talk, and I don't want to kind of confuse, but you look at like he had a show with Gail King Charles, and it flopped. You know, so it's like one of those things, like, you know, some things you just can't replicate. And then Ernie, I think even if say, for instance, if Kenny, Shaq, and Barkley go together, people are going to really realize how important Ernie Johnson really is. He's the engine that keeps this show going, because they can really go off the rails, but he keeps them in. Because like today was a perfect example when Shaq went on the tangent about SGA should have won, and then he talked about previous years, and Ernie reeled him in like, hey, we're not talking about previous years, we talk about today.
Right.
Will someone, in a sense, the moderator slash host, will that person can check a Shaq and say some of that and keep him in line and keep him, and he does that with everybody, and it's not just, you know, this is just an example from today.
Right.
But it's one of the things. But I think it's gonna happen, because honestly, I'm gonna tell you why. I don't know if when you watch the games, they get that DraftKings commercial with Kevin Hart, and he playing the NBA NBC song "Round Ball Rock,"
right?
By a guy John Tesh,
right?
Why is that coming back around? Because they know NBC about to get that, and it's just like, come on, like. And I always wanted NBA to come back on NBC, but not at the expense of losing inside the NBA. So it's kind of one of the things, be careful what you ask for. And when you ask for something, be intentional. Right. So next time I ask for something of that nature, make sure don't cut the best show on television out.
You think they're going to try to get them?
Or they, I mean, they probably can get the they
hey, probably I got can that part. Get yeah.
Yeah, they probably get Kenny, Shaq, and Chuck. The only thing is, could they get Ernie? Right. And it's a possibility, and I hope they do, because I think it's got to be those four. Like, to me, if there was some people, at least it got to be Ernie and Chuck. If it's something where, okay, if I had to sacrifice, this is like the kind of the how can I say it? Almost like the Titanic type situation. Keep Chuck, keep Ernie. In my personal opinion, if I had to save two, Chuck and Ernie, because they're the two that keeps it going. Because I mean, in my personal opinion,
I like
all four of them. But if
I think I don't like Shaq. I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. I want the original. Shaq can go somewhere else.
I mean, yeah, like I said, if it was somebody that could be saved, it would be Chuck and Ernie. Like, I like Kenny too, because Kenny's been around for 25 years.
Right.
Kenny was really like the OG of it, and him and Ernie. They used to do it. Yeah, this is you know, but yeah, it's gonna really, and it's crazy that this happening. And essentially, I wouldn't say they prime, but God, this would really truly suck. Because this is the show I think that just keeps the NBA relevant. Like, this is why I will watch an NBA game in December on a Thursday. You know, because of them.
Right.
Because if it was just, you know, and that's the thing where it's almost like the inverse of how I look at like the Amazon crew. For football,
right.
I like the games, but do I necessarily like the commentary after the game? It's cool, okay. But it ain't, you know.
You're talking about this. What's the team? I think they might have came from Fox. Okay, the quarterback from the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, Troy and Buck. Troy and Buck.
Didn't we had this conversation before? And didn't they move? Did they move from Fox to ESPN or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think I'm trying to remember the discussion you was having, because I know they paid Troy a lot of money.
Yeah,
I think they were paying him a lot of money.
I think at the time, I think he got paid 15, I think.
Yeah, something like that. It was a lot of money. I remember you talking about it. So do you see a difference between when they was on Fox and when they was on ESPN?
It's just probably on a bigger scale. I mean, obviously, I think they had to make a splash because they're another one where they're trying to make a move and make a bid for the Super Bowl. And I'm gonna say the loud part out loud. What they had prior to Troy Buck was not gonna land them a Super Bowl. I love Booger. But that wasn't gonna cut it. I love Lewis Riddick.
Uh-huh.
I like all those guys. What was it, Steve Levy? I love those guys. But they weren't gonna put ESPN in a position to get a Super Bowl or at least compete for a Super Bowl as far as when it comes to bidding of it. Right. I do see a difference. Obviously, I think I see more of a difference in a good way because I think they're the Monday night game. So obviously, to the contrast of them being that 4:25 game on Fox on Sundays. There is a difference, and I think it brings a lot of difference to ESPN for sure. Is they needed those kind, they needed that type of that surge.
So, but, yeah. I guess because if it's on NBC, they might have to put it on Peacock if they have it. Because I think putting it on NBC, Chuck can't talk how he wants to talk. You know what I mean? They can't speak about things comfortably like they can on TNT, which comes on late.
Yeah.
So I would think their best bet is to put it on Peacock, which might help everybody go get Peacock.
And it's going up $7.99, going up a dollar because of the Olympics.
Right. What'd you say?
It's going up a dollar for the Olympics.
That's crazy.
So it's $7.99.
That's crazy.
And guess what's gonna happen? Let NBA get that deal next year. Guess what? Your Peacock gonna be about $10-$15, and it's gonna keep rising, and it's the same story that we talked about in the first year about this. It's gonna keep on, it's gonna plateau it's gonna keep going up because it's gonna happen. Then you're gonna get those exclusive games in the NFL, then in the NBA, like you said, like you said. They can't do all this stuff with like NBC. Kenny can't walk out because of what happened in Milwaukee in the bubble. They're going to tell him to jump down back in that seat. They were for NBC. We just keeping it 1,000.
Hey,
NBC. They don't play with that type of stuff.
Kenny walk like Mike Lee.
Yeah, man.
You.
But yeah, man, so I hope TNT or Warner Brothers take Warner Brothers do something and get this squared away because we need inside the NBA.
Yeah.
We need that. We need to save it. If not, NBA landscape is gonna be trash.
Right.
You know.
How would you feel if they had them three had like TNT putting? I guess they can't, but they gotta have the rights to the NBA. I'm gonna like put something like on YouTube.
I know, I think if worse come to worse, at least we should have the steam room, the podcast with Chuck and Ernie. At the end of the day, if it all goes down, can we still have a steam room? I think I'm willing to a point to understand that I don't think we're gonna get inside the NBA like we do currently. But can we at least get the steam room, please? Keep the steam room going, because other than that, it's gonna be terrible, you know. So yeah, We don't want to have our nights filled with Big Perk, Malika, Stephen A., and Richard Jefferson. I like them, but, you know.
It's hard. I mean,
they're not inside the NBA.
Right.
And then I just thought about it. And this, you know, could be a potential casualty, potentially, in all this. Draymond Green. ain't think about that.
Yeah, because he was supposed to, yeah. He was gonna be a part of the show, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey.
I don't know. Hopefully they come up with something. There's really no, you know, that's a top show. It's really no reason for them to lose them. You know what I mean?
I know.
Hope the NBA is smart.
Yeah, I just hope they cough up that money. $2.6 billion to outbid NBC. You know?
I actually.
So, staying in the association. Yeah.
Oh, I think that sometimes it ain't. I know you want to try new things. I know, like what you say, you want to give me, but sometimes you want to keep it the same. Like, you know, always want to move stuff, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's the money aspect. That's what it is. This is what it ultimately boils down to. I mean, right. Yeah. I mean, I think TNT, I think it's like one point. I think it's like they do like $1 billion annually to cover the games. Then you got NBC doubling that price. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't blame the NBA. So, hopefully Warner Brothers can do a big one and take care of business. 2.6, 2.7, you know. Hey, GoFundMe, send a GoFundMe, some fish dinners. We'll help you out. I'm serious. I mean, I'll buy some fish dinners.
NBA on TNT. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's really, that, remember Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Remember Tuesday, yep. Wednesday, Thursday.
Yep. And now, yeah. But we shall see, and hopefully we'll get something going with that. So we'll stay in the association, and it's probably going to be a very interesting story in L.A. Obviously, we knew that Darvin Ham was going to be let go, and it did happen on Friday. So Darvin Ham, in his 2 years, you know, he did what he had to do. So obviously, he's no longer there. There are some candidate lists that a lot of people are thinking who should be the next coach of the LA Lakers. There's a few on a lot of people's lists. So I'm going with you first. Your thoughts on who will be the new coach for the Lakers next season?
First off, the player coach idea sucks. JJ Redick being the coach is horrible. He should at least be if anything, he can be an assistant. But come on, that's horrible, B. Okay, let's keep it real. I don't want to mess his name up, B. Mike Budenholzer.
Budenholzer.
I felt like he's a champion. I felt like the Bucks missing. I think he could deal with it. I think LeBron will respect him enough. I was looking at his stats. He's 484. He lost 317. Coach of the Year 2015 and 2019. So I think that I thought it was unfair that he got fired. I think it was more or less, I want to say it's more or less about, I think his brother had just passed. And I think he's ready to come back to the league. So I think he would be the best candidate. I think I'm going to say Phil Handy. We was really hoping that they was going to give it to him, but they said they let him go so he can have other opportunities. Did he get hired already?
Somewhere? Yeah.
All right, so I was thinking Phil Handy. My wild card, I got Adrian Griffin.
Yeah.
I don't see nobody talking about him, but I'm like, I ain't even see. I was looking up Milwaukee Bucks coaches. They don't even have him near me.
Which is crazy because he coached. Hell, if it weren't for him, they wouldn't have made the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. So, seriously. I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at, if you really pay attention to, if the Nuggets was the blueprint for the West, because, you know, one of the issues is it's not just defense, it's also you got to score. And I think if the Lakers would have had more scoring, like if Rui would have got 20 points, we would have won. really was averaging 9 points. So let me ask you a question. You coach, why do you think they fired him?
I think because he's a scapegoat. Like, it's like one of those things where it's just that how it is with the league, where it's cheaper to get rid of him than to get rid of personnel or what have you. I don't think he should have got fired.
I'm talking about Adrian Griffin.
Oh, Adrian Griffin?
Yeah.
Okay. Adrian Griffin, I think they said there was some rifts in between, obviously with him and Giannis, and then you look at, and then who knows how him and Dame, because, you know, he had him and Terry Stouts, who was his coach in Portland,
mm-hmm.
was pretty much, they got an argument one day, and then they let Terry Stouts go. So it's kind of one of those where, because you can't look at it from a record standpoint, like as far as why would you get rid of him? And I think it was just internally, right. And I think they just wanted to get rid of him, which, it's stupid. I think it's just, you can tell. Look at the decision that's being made. I think that's when the prisoners ran the asylum. And I hate to say it like that. Sound like the late.
Right.
This happens when the players control the narrative, right. In a sense, in that situation where you look at it, where what did Doc do? Doc lost more games in less time than what Adrian Griffin did in half the season. Because they were 30-13. So he was at half the season.
Right.
You know, so.
And it looked like just to piggy on, I know we talk about something else, but it looked like something needs to happen to humble Giannis, because his brother really shouldn't be there. You know what I mean? But anyway, I put Adrian Griffin. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this is another one where I'm like, I think firing Darvin Ham, I think they're gonna really realize the grass ain't too green on the other side for this team. There are some great coaching candidates that are around, but I don't think they're gonna fit the mold of the LA Lakers. When I think about guys, and this is more so of guys I think who can be head coaches this year. That as far as I look at, like a guy like, I think Kenny Atkinson is deserving of another coaching job, but I just think this is the right situation for him. Like you said, Mike Budenholzer, I'm curious how that's going to work out, because will he get the control that he wants like he did in Milwaukee? So I'm curious about that. This is kind of a long shot. This could be a guy I think could happen. It's really gonna be curious on, because Detroit's gonna be hiring. They're gonna hire a president of basketball operations, and will they keep Monty Williams? That's gonna be kind of the key thing. If they decide not to keep Monty Williams, could he go to LA? I know he declined his job offer years ago when it was presented to him,
because he wanted 5 years.
Yeah, so that's the thing where, if they let him go in Detroit, could this be a situation where he lands in LA potentially?
See, but I didn't honestly know that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm just ad-libbing. Go ahead.
What happened?
I didn't know that because I thought Monty Williams, because I think Monty Williams showed in Phoenix that he was a deadly coach, and I'm like, he's just dancing like he's dying in Detroit. He should, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean that roster stat, not the best.
Right.
But so I think if the opportunity presents itself and they let him go, this could be a situation where he could be fired on a Monday and be hired by Friday by somebody, potentially. But I think all signs are pointing towards JJ Redick. It's funny, and shout out to my class 2002 brethren, JJ Redick, and also my other class 2002 brethren, Rashad McCants, and he made a very compelling argument, and that connected the dots together, because you look at how LeBron and JJ Redick had this new podcast, and they talk about play, and it's funny. Like, I feel like their fourth episode. I feel like these episodes are literally an audition for JJ Redick to be the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. I really have that strange feeling, and then I think of everything that's going on in the circus that is with the Lakers, what's going to happen, obviously, with them potentially drafting Bronny James, potentially. I don't know about that, but it is what it is. And a lot of stuff is going to happen in the offseason. So it's starting to head that way. And it's one thing that it would have been kind of laughable a few days ago, but then now when you sit down, you think to yourself, this is a possibility, and this is where it's like, and you starting to realize, and I think the Lakers are someone won't realize the grass is not too green on the other side. I think you could have kept a guy like a Darvin Ham, where you still got to understand the fact, yes, maybe people look at like this year as an underachieving season, but I mean, who is out there that's going to take this team to the next level? There's no one. There's no coach that's available. Mark Jackson. Unless they're not going to do it. We already know the story about Mark Jackson, unfortunately. Because I know he should have been a coach. He should have been a coach. He should have been still a coach of the other Warriors. So that lets me know that you don't want him in this league, because there's plenty of job opportunities, you know, that could have came his way. And, you know, especially all these young up-and-coming teams like he had in Golden State, he could have been a part of those teams. But we know he's blackballed from this league, unfortunately. And, you know, but, yeah, to me, I think it's leaning towards J.J. Redick. I can see him being the head coach. I mean, because I definitely think, you know, Mr. James is very involved in this process.
You know, and for the first time, I'd be like, because they say like he really don't like doing it, but I think he feel like he might have to this time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think before they was always saying, I think now you can literally see it. Like, it's like, okay, I don't got that much time, so I got to do what I need to do to get somebody in there. But yeah, man, like, I don't know about J.J. Redick.
Yeah. Because the only thing I think that's conceivable possible, and I know people are saying it either would have been Ty Lue, but he just signed an extension. Well, they're planning to sign an extension with the Clippers, so they did that to make sure he stays with the Clippers. The only two I can see that's conceivable is J.J. Redick, Ty Lue, and then if Monty Williams get fired. Because I don't – like, it's coaches in this league that are going to get jobs. But I just don't think – like I said, I think the Kenny Atkinson angle, that's not going to work in L.A. And I think the Mike Budenholzer thing, in my personal opinion, is not going to work out either. So – and I think even the three that we mentioned that are possible, that it's not gonna work out either way, you know. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, this is kind of one of those things where, you know, J.J. Redick goes to the Lakers, and your boy Pat Beverly could have messed up a bag.
I mean, me personally, you know? I felt like they went through something, they won the championship, Frank Vogel. I think once they did that, Rob Pelinka went to his head and he started making all these changes. Yeah, they saved some money, but there's a nucleus that they should have kept. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's not what he wanted to do. He seemed like, to me, he wanted to keep LeBron, keep AD, and then he can get, you know, a couple of new stars, you know, get them paid. Like, he got Reeves undrafted, and Rui was able to pay him, you know, somewhat. And then he got all these mid guys, you know what I'm saying, that either about to opt out or they just signed Wood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you signed Vandy, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure, hopefully D-Lo's gone. Like, he was, you know, anyway, I'm not upset about, I'm not upset about them getting rid of him, because I really didn't see Ham make a true mark on the team. Like, when I saw Vogel, I saw him make a mark. You know what I'm saying? But don't get me wrong, he was a Kentucky, it made sense. He was a Kentucky guy. He had Cousins there, he had Rondo there, and he had AD there. You know what I'm saying? And he was a video guy, so it was just certain things that you could tell they made his mark. You know what I'm saying? and they all had they played a certain way, and they was number one in defense that year. It was just something about him that it just is something went clicking. You know what I mean?
And I mean, you gotta think about it. He's only been there for 2 years, so that's one thing too. And you gotta think about it. His roster was halfway gutted through its first year, so it's kind of.
It's not just him though.
I'm just saying it's too early. To me, it was just too early to make that call, and then I think you're gonna see where. Who you gonna have as a coach of Cannon? Like it's not a very attractive coaching market for this team.
When they started saying fire Darren Ham, all the fans, you know what I mean? Like, like you know, you should have known. Like, and for me, watching the documentaries about the Lakers, watching the winning time about the Lakers, in the end, they can say it's all about championships, but they want to make sure them fans, they want to keep feeling that illusion, just like the Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just like the Yankees. That we the greatest team of all time, blah, blah, blah. I want to keep feeding that. So y'all won't, you know, we can get another coach. You know what I'm saying? They, you know, but I don't know, man.
You can get another coach, but will that another coach take you to the next level? I don't think so.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm telling what I'm saying. Okay. What I'm really saying is they've been here before. When they went through it with Kobe, they had to go back and get Phil. You know what I'm saying? So what y'all going to do now? Go back and get Frank Vogel? Because I don't think Frank Vogel should have been, you know, everybody was like, well, he's treating Westbrook like this. It wasn't Frank Vogel that benched Westbrook. It was the organization that wanted him to bench Westbrook. Frank said no. It was Darvin Ham that benched Westbrook. You know what I mean?
And
No, I'm just saying in general.
I'm just saying.
You're right. What you going to do?
He made the right. And that's gonna be the issue. And like, you know, and I understand, you wanna, you know, it's all about winning. And like to me, I guarantee you, I think and they play Denver. They played a team in the first round that's gonna give them problems. So it's like, and it's not, I don't think a Darvin Ham is going to cure them. They need other stuff other than the coach. But I think, you know, but good luck with JJ Redick.
And stop saying that, man. We not getting JJ Redick.
I'm telling you, it's gonna be JJ Redick because we know what.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm.
We know what. That podcast is the audition to let you people know. Oh well, you see how he breaks down film, he breaks down players and stuff like that. I'm telling you, they go. Telling you, man, it's gonna happen. Just don't be surprised.
Boy, don't you go get no damn JJ Redick. I'm sorry.
Whatever LeBron wants, he gonna get.
Hey, man. Come on, don't start that.
Hey. So that means JJ Redick and Bronny James. Because that's what he wants. And y'all, you know, year 22 and 23, that's what he wants. He's just found, you know how the Lakers do when they get guys, they in the twilight of their career, oh, they're going to make sure they're good.
Right.
Same thing going to happen for LeBron.
Well, I just hope they make the right decision, man.
Yeah. And hopefully Darvin Ham goes back to Milwaukee. That's what I'm hoping. I hope he goes back to Milwaukee.
I mean, me personally, when they fired the coach, I was like, damn, it probably looked like that's probably what he should have been in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that, you know, he is Milwaukee to me. And I felt like when they hired, you know, especially after they fired Griffin, I was like, damn, I think that's what Darvin Ham should have been at.
Yep. Yeah, they need to just get rid of Doc, let him go back to his consultant role or whatever he was at with the Bucks, and then hire Darvin Ham. I think he's the only one I think can save the message that's going on in Milwaukee.
I believe if Doc stay there, I think Tobias Harris going there. I think that's the only time Tobias Harris play better.
You better save your money. But yeah, But yeah. So we'll put a bow on tonight's podcast. We'll do our game ball and final thoughts. We'll start our game ball first. Who gives week's game ball for you?
Man, I really didn't have anybody, but I'm gonna give it to the legendary iconic comedian Sinbad. I seen something today. He's recovering. He's, you know, he had a stroke a couple years ago, maybe about a year and a half ago. And he's a lot of comedians, he was in a wheelchair. He seems to like I seen a post on IG. He was like, man, thanking everybody, and that, you know, he's on the path back to healing. It's one of my favorite comedians. So I'm gonna give him the game ball, man. Seems like he's making his you know, he's making his positive steps to get back to a full recovery.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I give my ass to Victor Wembanyama, the unanimous rookie of the year. 21.4 points per game, 10.6 rebounds a game. And they had a nice, cool commercial. I think it was Fanatics, where they had a they had him going to like this museum, like, and looking at some exhibits of past rookies of the year. Mm-hmm. We end up being, you know, I think it was LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Grant Hill, David Robinson, you know, as far as them giving him encouraging words for him winning the Rookie of the Year. So I always thought that was like kind of a cool thing to kind of, especially the older generation, you know, giving him love and showing him love for his rookie year and, you know, for him to meet the expectations. I think a lot of, you know, coming in, we was like, oh, he's going to revolutionize the game. We knew coming in the hype, and he's lived up to the hype. I mean, you look at it from the standpoint, just looking at his stats thus far in his rookie year, no telling how he's going to be in 2, 3, 5 years from now. Like, you know, if he's doing this as a rookie, you know, barring, you know, as long as he keeps his health going, he's going to shatter records.
Right.
And it just looks so and the crazy thing about all of this is he just makes it look so effortless. It's so crazy. But yeah, for sure. All right, so final thoughts before we head on out. Also final thoughts and also social media plugs. What you got?
Man, great show. Go Timberwolves. But you know, great show, man. Can't wait till next week. You know, social media is DT Morgan 78 Instagram and Deshaun Morgan Facebook.
Yeah, once again, another great show. Yeah, so pretty much social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, well, X, Couch Coach Live, the website couchcoachlive.com, YouTube Couch Coach Live. So yeah, we're gonna do some interesting stuff next week. Still trying to figure it out because while we do a live show on Wednesday, next Wednesday, the NFL schedule release is coming out. So we may push it, but I will announce that one day, probably Monday or Tuesday, kind of figure that all out because the schedule release comes out Wednesday, next Wednesday at 8:00. So that coincides with our show. So, you know, we'll figure out what day we'll do it or might do 2 shows next week or whatever, but I'll keep you guys posted on social media on that as well. So this wraps up this week's Couch Coach Live, man. We'll catch you guys next week, and we're out.
Welcome.